The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, January 8th through Sunday, January 14th, 2024. The commentary for January was written by Atlanta-based author and speaker Beth Sarah Wright. She writes about the developing the courage for transformation. Her book, entitled Dignity, was the 2023 Book of the Year by the National Association of Episcopal Schools. She is married to Robert C. Wright, the Bishop of the Diocese of Atlanta, and they are parents to five children. The commentary for Monday, January 8th, begins as follows with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. One of the joys of my life is my daily walk each morning. Even though I walk the same path most days, I always see something new, a blue heron in the water, deer quietly sauntering, or a baby snapping turtle making its way across the path. God is all around, revealing God colors and God sounds and God's wonderful creations. All things came into being through God, and without God, not one thing came into being. What if we looked at the world through this lens? What if we looked at life, people, and situations through God goggles? Oh, how that would change the way we treat each other, the natural world around us, and even ourselves. May we, with great intention and humility, see the world the way God sees us. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, or of the will of the flesh, or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." And the moving forward question for this Monday, January 8th, look in the mirror, imagine seeing yourself as God sees you, what changes? Now the commentary for Tuesday, January 9th. It begins with a passage from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 10. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. During a severe bout of depression, I began to read Jesus' story very differently. At first I wondered, why me? Why am I afflicted with this pain? But then I looked again at Jesus' life, the pioneer of our salvation made perfect through suffering, and my question shifted to, why not me? Jesus pleads with God in the Garden of Gethsemane to take the cup of suffering from him, but inevitably Jesus repeats his mother's words when she was asked the unimaginable, "Thy will be done," and he lives into that purpose by God's grace. God does not promise a life without suffering. God promises to always be present, even through suffering. God gives humanity the greatest honor by squeezing God's self through Jesus into a human suit. The psalmist asks, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them?" We have our answer. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Hebrews. It is chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. "Therefore, we must pay greater attention to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away from it. For if the message declared through angels was valid, and every transgression or disobedience received a just penalty, how can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? It was declared at first through the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard him, while God added his testimony by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels, but someone has testified somewhere, 'What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them. But we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, and bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And the moving forward question for this Tuesday is, when you struggle, consider asking, why not me? Does this shift in perspective change how you approach the difficulties? The commentary for Wednesday, January 10th, begins with a passage from Psalm 119, verses 2 and 3. "Happy are those who observe his decrees and seek him with all their hearts, who never do any wrong, but always walk in his ways." The difference between being whole and having a hole in our hearts is a W, and that W stands for worship. The question is, what story do you worship? Is it a story of babies being born from barren wombs, faith the size of mustard seeds that can move mountains, or a teenager who slays giants? I hope it is a story about how life in Jesus conquers death. In seeking God with our whole hearts, we bring it all to God. the light and the darkness, the joy and the despair, the shame and the pride. After all, God knows the desires of our hearts, and from God no secrets are hid. And so we seek not perfectly and not without stumbling. We pursue and chase after God. Authentic life and joy are born when what we say we believe is reflected in what we do in our lives. Let us not go astray in our hearts, but seek after the highways and the heartways of God. And now I'm going to read from the wonderful Psalm 119, verses 1 through 24. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in his ways. You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently. Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes. Then I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances. I will observe your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me. How can young people keep their way pure? By guarding it according to your word. With my whole heart I seek you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I treasure your word in my heart, so that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. I delight in the way of your decrees as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Deal bountifully with your servant so that I may live and observe your word. Open my eyes so that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. I live as an alien in the land. Do not hide your commandments from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your ordinances at all times. You rebuke the insolent, accursed ones who wander from your commandments. Take away from me their scorn and contempt, for I have kept your decrees. Even though princes sit plotting against me, your servant will meditate on your statutes. Your decrees are my delight. They are my counselors. And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, January 10th, is what story do you worship? The commentary for Thursday, January 11th, begins with a passage from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. Often when we think of someone having a heavenly calling, we imagine a scenario like the burning bush in Moses' story, or the angel unexpectedly visiting Mary. And so we wait for these moments of magnificent clarity to reveal our own calling or purpose in this life. Many of us may be waiting a very long time, but what if we think about this differently? What if we saw ourselves as holy partners in a heavenly calling? God has already placed inside of us everything we need, weaving these things into every thread of our DNA. Our partnership with God is perfected in our faithfulness to God. Pay attention to the whispers in your heart, to what tugs at your imagination. But above all, remain faithful to God. You may doubt yourself, but you're in good company. Moses, too, doubted himself, but his faithfulness to God, even amid uncertainty, brought clarity. Let us be God's holy partners, faithful to God's work and creation in us. And now I'm going to read from the book of Hebrews, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, brothers and sisters, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful, and all God's house. Yet Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant, to testify to the things that would be spoken later. Christ, however, was faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if we hold firm the confidence and the pride that belong to hope. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, as on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors put me to the test, though they had seen my works 10 for 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. As in my anger, I swore, they will not enter my rest. And the moving forward question for this Thursday is, how can you be a holy partner in God's heavenly calling? And now let's turn to the commentary for Friday, January 12th. It begins with a passage from Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2. My God, why have you forsaken me and are so far from my cry and from the words of my distress? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not answer, by night as well, but I find no rest. Several years ago, I got up one morning and did what I always did, fed breakfast to my children, and got ready for work. Except there was one difference. I wanted to die. I felt such despair and darkness and had no words to pray. I thought, how could this be? How can I not know how or what to pray to God? I had no answers. Later, I happened to hear from an angel squeezed into the body of an 89-year-old woman who said that when we don't have the words to pray, the Spirit intercedes for us with wordless sighs. Thanks be to God. God was with me the whole time. The silence was healing, and the sighs and groanings were a prayer. I like to think that when Jesus asked, my God, why have you forsaken me, as he hung on the cross, his groanings were a prayer, and God's silence brought healing. And now I'm going to read from the full passage of Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our ancestors trusted. They trusted, and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me and they shake their heads. Commit your cause to the Lord. Let him deliver. Let him rescue the one in whom he delights. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. On you I was cast from my birth. And since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. many bulls encircle me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. For dogs are all around me. A company of evildoers encircles me. My hands and feet have shriveled. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far away. I owe my help. Come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion, from the horns of the wild oxen you have rescued me. I will tell of your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him. Stand in awe of him, all you offspring of Israel. For he did not despise or abhor the affliction of the afflicted. He did not hide his face from me, but heard when I cried to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations shall worship before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. To him, indeed, shall all who sleep in the earth bow down. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, and I shall live for him. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn, saying that he has done it. And the moving forward question for this Friday, are you suffering from despair or depression? Remember, God is with you always. Also, consider contacting a priest or a therapist who may be God's hands and feet in the world, providing you with much needed help and strength. Dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. The commentary for Saturday, January 13th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 15b to 16. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." I remember reading a lovely sentiment on social media about things money can't buy. The list included a loving home, deep gratitude, a hopeful spirit. Many people appreciated it, but others responded by saying that money can enrich our lives and make these things more accessible. Money can be coveted, useful, and demonized all at the same time. But it is the love of money, not money itself, that Scripture says is the root of all evil. God's first commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. This is more challenging to do when we are distracted. I think Jesus' anger is less about money than it is about our distraction and focus. God is clear about our focus and where it should be. We know what distracts us. What will it take for us to refocus? And now I'm going to read from John chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. The Passover of the Jews was near, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple he found people selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and the money changers seated at their tables. Making a whip of cords, he drove all of them out of the temple, both the sheep and the cattle. He also poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. He told those who were selling the doves, "Take these things out of here. Stop making my father's house a marketplace." His disciples remembered that it was written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." The Jews then said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews then said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and will you raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking of the temple of his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The moving forward question for this day, is the love of money a distraction for you? Power? Addiction? How can you refocus? And as we near the end of the program, the commentary for Sunday, January 14th, the second Sunday of Epiphany, begins with a passage from Psalm 139, verse 3. "Indeed, there is not a word on my lips, but you, O Lord, know it altogether." I have a terrible habit I'm trying to change. Sometimes when I feel doubt or uncertainty, I say unkind words to myself. These deprecating words are almost on autopilot for me, even uncontrollable at times, like a nervous twitch. I have learned over the years that when those words escape my lips, I must stop and reverse their effects by saying new words, ones that affirm and comfort and remind me who I am and whose I am. This psalm is filled with such words. It is a litany of wonderful reversals, a praise song for the magnificent creations that we are all. The psalm is a beautiful enumeration of the many ways God knows us inside and out, and an incantation to remind us of our inescapable God. No matter where we go, God is always with us and knows us completely. We are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. The reference here is to Psalm 139. And the moving forward question for this day is, do you unleash verbal abuse on yourself? Read this psalm as a tool to curb such criticism. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. I'm George Stuckless. Thank you for joining me today. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.